You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast with Jamie and Jason. This is episode 204, and today, Jamie, you and I are going to be talking about prayer. And we have talked about prayer on our podcasts in the past. You can, if you as a listener want to go back and check out episode 13, which is on God's sovereignty over prayer, or episode 69, which talks about how honest we can be in prayer. But today we wanted to just address the issue of our ongoing relationship with the Lord and how prayer is so central and integral to what that means to have a vibrant life in the Lord and to be communing with Him and fellowshipping with him regularly. And you know, some people have even put it this way, that prayer to the Christian is like breathing is to physical life. You know, it should come to us naturally, in a sense, even though it's a supernatural thing that happens in prayer. There's another side of it where, because of who we are as God's children, it should be very natural to us, and it should be this ongoing practice that we are just daily and repeatedly doing, and you know, praying without ceasing, as the Apostle Paul said. And so, Jamie, I'm not sure exactly where we're going to go in talking about prayer, but I think it's good to maybe just start with some definitions, because I think, you know, people could have their presuppositions or their preconceptions about what prayer is. And I think it's just good to start there with what is prayer, and maybe we could look at some passages that speak to this and then how that relates directly to our relationship with the Lord. So I'll start there. Jamie, what is a good basic definition of prayer?
Yeah, I mean, at its core, I think prayer is simply communing with the Lord, or talking with the Lord. But what I think is important to note, Jason, is we so often fall into the box of thinking of prayer as a means to an end, right? We pray for the needs that are around us. We pray for other people who are going through struggle or difficulty or temptation, or, you know, all these sorts of things. And we also recognize that there's a praise aspect to prayer as well. So we praise God for what He does, who He is, His character, His nature, His faithfulness, right? His active sovereign work in the world and in our lives and in our history and all these sorts of things. And all of that's wonderful. And the Bible speaks to that a lot. And there's great value in that. And you know, like you, we've done some episodes on prayer before, you know, that cover some of those aspects. Episode 69, we talked, you know, about how honest can you be with the Lord, really looking at imprecatory prayer and what does that look like, right? And then even why do we pray if God is sovereign? In episode 13, we talked about that as well. So definitely go back and check those episodes out, because we're not really covering that ground today. But what we, I think, very often fail to do is recognize the relational reality of prayer, right? That God wants to be in communion with us. And so we have these encouragements to, you know, constantly pray, right? Colossians 4:2, or 1 Thessalonians 5:16, where we're instructed literally to pray without ceasing, or to pray often, regularly, all the time, right? And we, I think, very often forget that the purpose of prayer isn't just for those things we've mentioned, right? It is for those things, but it's also to have communion, to really, or a way the Bible puts this a lot, is to draw near to God, right? That's why we pray. We pray to draw near to God. And there's so much scripture that speaks to this, right? All over the Old Testament, Exodus 69 or 34, 32, Leviticus 9, 5, Deuteronomy 4, 11, right? Or in the New Testament, you see this, you know, same thing all over as well. This draw near to the Lord. God wants to be in relationship with you. And when you stop and think about it, that's really a profound reality, right? We have a God that is relational. And of course, that gets back to the Trinitarian nature of God, right? God has eternally, while he is one, he has eternally existed as three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, right? They are homoousios, we say. They are the same in essence, the same in substance. And so, eternally speaking, God has been in community, right? So God is perfect in community, perfect in love, perfect in life-giving love, right? All those things eternally. And that spills over then into how God relates to us and how God interacts with us. Because God is relational, he desires to have relationship with us. And that's pretty great, because when you look at it, Jason, really, what other religion in the world is there with a God who's actually relational, like a God who actually wants to engage with you? That's a crazy, mind-blowing concept, right? And that's, you come to Romans chapter 8, and you just see the profound nature of that, to the degree that God just has this loving desire to pull you into family, familial relationship with him. Like, that's the craziest thing ever, and so unlike every other God. And so a big part of prayer, Jason, is not just pleading on behalf of other people, right? Making supplication is a word we use to describe that a lot, or intercession, right? Somebody's struggling or tempted or whatever. That is valuable parts of prayer, but a big part of prayer is actually communing or drawing near to God.
Yeah, it's you know, looking at Jesus's description of prayer and his example for us. We call it the Lord's Prayer, but really it's his teaching template, which isn't to be seen as something that we have to follow word for word, but it does. Every word in that teaching prayer is so instructive, and you notice it begins not mighty Creator or even glorious Lord, both of which are true when you're addressing God, but it begins our Father, you know, that famous prayer Jesus taught his disciples, our Father who is in heaven. And so right away you have the interplay of the immanence of God. He is immanent, he's with us, he's our Father, he's relational, and he's at work in this world. He's not the deistic God that is, you know, winding up the clock and stepping away. He is deeply involved in every aspect of our lives. And the more we become aware of that, the more we recognize he is an involved Father who cares about us and is shaping every aspect of our life. The more we understand that, the more we will want to pray to him, because we'll understand this isn't just some great and glorious Lord that I have to, you know, sort of do penance for before I can even utter a word before him. No, on the basis of Christ's substitutionary work on the cross and resurrection, I have immediate access to God. In fact, we're told to come boldly before the throne of grace. And that's the image of a father welcoming children into his arms and saying, what do you want to talk about? What can you share from your heart to mine, and I'll share my heart to yours? And really, when people don't think about prayer as base level, it's a child speaking to the Father. It's no wonder that so many feel like it's this empty phrase thing, or this thing that I just have to do because it's going to earn some good points on the spirituality scale, rather than something where it really is about intimacy with your Father, with your Creator, yes, but he's also called your Father, and he is your Father if you are follower of Jesus. And then the follow-up with that, of course, is our Father who is in heaven. So we know there from that statement that Jesus is not saying God is only immanent. He's only, you know, sort of like the pantheistic God that's just so deeply involved that he's even part of creation. No, he's not. He's not like that. He is in heaven. But that's, again, to give us boldness to go to him, because that means that heaven can invade earth, and he can, from the power of heaven, can bring fresh insight, fresh action, fresh energy, that if we are just trapped in this fallen world and God is trapped in the fallenness of the world with us, then again, we have a problem, because now this God is impotent. But no, our Father who is in heaven. And so that tells us that God is both transcendent, above, beyond, gloriously over us, but at the same time, fatherly, who loves us and is with us and is imminent. So transcendence and imminence, I think those two images we have to have interplaying in our minds to get a right understanding of prayer.
Yeah, it is very important, Jason. And I mean, when you think about it in terms of human relationship, we get this concept of communication is a relational thing. And, you know, certainly, like, you communicate with your wife, you and your wife have lots of conversation that doesn't necessarily serve a specific purpose other than it builds relationship, right? And that's what you see in this invitation, is God wants to just have relationship with you and wants to speak into your life and wants to, you know, redeem and renew. And it is a very relational thing. And I think that very much changes the way you pray in a lot of respects, right? Because you're recognizing, okay, this is who God is. This is what his character and nature is. Therefore, I can actually engage more fluidly. That's not really a word, but you get my point there. You just have that open line of communication. And you see Jesus, you know, he instructs us there to, this is how you are to pray, right? Gives us some good guidance on that. And you see Jesus himself engaging in prayer all the time. And, you know, he's obviously speaking to the Father, right? And some of that is for actual purpose, right? He's processing through, right, God's, the Father's mission for him and his purpose while, you know, on earth, while in the flesh, doing the ministry he's doing. But a lot of it too is just that relational component, right? Jesus is just seeking to stay connected, to abide in the Father, to keep that relational line going, which is obviously really important, right? Because you see, what does Jesus do when he's on the cross? He quotes from Psalm 22, where he's saying, my God, why have you forsaken me, right? There's a relational disruption, which is painful. And it, you know, it just gives you such a view of God's heart towards the Son, certainly, and by extension to us, that, you know, he really wants to be in active relationship. And that totally does, I think, change how you pray. Because then you think, well, like, okay, I got to pray in very formal terms, and I need to sit and write out a clear and well-presented thought, and it needs to be, you know, hit all the theological boxes, and it needs to, and yet you don't see Jesus praying that way, right? Certainly he's not praying in an untheological way. We're not saying, like, you know, you can say whatever words you want in whatever context you want, but it is much more casual. It's much more relational thing. And I think, Jason, so one of the reasons I was thinking about this topic is because of how many people that are like, oh, I don't feel comfortable praying. And you're like, what? I mean, that's that when you think about it, that's really a strange concept. But it's not that strange when you consider the fact that the way they're looking at it is very formal, that it's very it isn't that personal relationship, you know, thing. It's all about, oh, I got to say the right things in the right order, in the right perspective, instead of beginning with that central point that this is our Father. And the way we speak to our Father is very different than if we're, you know, formally presenting, let's say, to a judge or to a, you know, something like that, a king or, you know, whatever language you want to put in there in that box. You get the point.
Yeah. And I think there's also just a measure of, you know, when we, if we think of prayer in a kind of rote fashion where it's got to be following certain scripts or whatever. And by the way, when I say this, just know that if you have certain memorized prayers that kind of help lead you into the fullness of that prayer experience, I am not discounting that at all. Neither of us would say that's a bad thing to have a model. I know that, well, for example, I use the Psalms. If I'm like really struggling to like think of words or to know what to pray about, you know, it's great to use helps like that. I mean, I think the Psalms would be the best place to turn to because it's, you know, given by God's inspiration. But I think there's other prayers that can be useful in that same kind of way. But I think leaving it there would, in a sense, it would sort of, it would keep things to a level of, I can only express what is already presented for me rather than expressing what's in my heart for God from me. And I know that one of the ways that I try to do this is like if I'm starting with a psalm, I like to put it into my own words. And I, by the way, I'm not saying you can change scripture. I just got to clarify some of these things. But really, when you read through a psalm, you're hearing David's prayer or you're hearing the prayer of the sons of Korah. And so it's good to be thinking about, okay, what are they saying? And then put that same concept into your own words and express that from your heart. And what you find is that the Bible is then guiding you into the right kind of fellowship with the Lord that he's intending for us. For example, I may be thinking in my own, God doesn't want to hear about all my worries, all my fears. I got to be strong for God. You know, whatever we might be thinking, maybe we think he's got enough to deal with and he's already done so much for me. Why should I be complaining? But then you turn to the Psalms and you realize, oh, wait a minute. This is like a regular thing for the guys who wrote the Psalms. They were often saying things like, have you not rejected us, O God? Why are we left here and armies are coming against us? Why does it seem like I'm drowning and the water is over my head? You read those passages and you realize, interesting. So God in his word has given us this invitation to speak to him in a way that in one sense, it's not true, right? In one sense, God hasn't rejected those who come to him. He hasn't abandoned us, right? But we're speaking from where our heart stance is at. And we're saying, God, this is how I feel. Please bring me back to that sense of wholeness in your loving arms. Bring back that fullness of joy Psalm 16 talks about. Because right now, I don't feel joyful, God. I know you've done all these things for me, and I know I have only reason to be grateful in my head. But in my heart, I don't feel that right now. And guess what? You can do that from a place of intimacy and knowledge of God, recognizing he is not going to smack you back down because now you're bearing your heart. Now you're being honest about where you're at. He would think of it this way. You know, we read about the armor of God and how when we go into spiritual warfare, we need to be armored up, right? That's an important principle. We need to be armored up, and it's the armor of God. We've talked about this recently and on the podcast. But when you're going into prayer, what you're actually doing is you're removing all armor. And I'm not talking about the armor of God. I'm talking about you're removing that armor that tends to come up on its own because of our fleshly tendencies and our general lack of just our lack of God's presence, whatever it might be. But removing that armor that will come up and put a barrier between you and God. And instead, think of it as you want to bear your soul to him. You want him to see every part of you. You know, just like that prayer in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any evil way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, that's a powerful prayer because you're saying, God, you have free rein to look at every part of me. I don't want to hide anything from you. And this is so crucial. Jamie, I feel like I need to emphasize this because especially, and I can even be talking to pastors here, fellow pastors who might be listening, other ministry leaders, other people maybe serving in children's ministry or women's ministry. It can be very easy to get into the Christian mode where I need to do things because it's right, and I need to show up for church, and I need to put on the veneer, at least make it seem like I'm okay, and I am doing just fine spiritually, and I'm good, right? And there's that tendency in all of us to want to go there and not let on that we're struggling in some area. But when you go before God, you have the freedom to, in a very real sense, let everything hang out, all the guts of what's gone wrong, all the things that are hurting within you. You just lay it out before him and let him sort through the mess, let him bring healing, and let him show you his fatherly love to all those parts that you'd like to keep hidden. And then what you find is when you're doing that regularly with God, then you can more freely share things with close friends. And you can talk about things that that God is working on in you. And you can say, this is the things I've been praying about. And that kind of encourages others to, oh, you know, that is right. That this relationship with God, it's not just about showing up for church, doing all these things, teaching assignments, whatever it might be. And then we're done. We're good for the day. And then we go on to the next day. No, it's about this intimacy, this communion with God. That is what the Christian life is all about. And yes, you want to keep giving, you want to keep serving and doing all these things out of sacrifice to the Lord. But if you do that from a place of withholding from God and putting up that armor, and not having that intimacy with God, man, that can be so draining. I have been there, and I know how weighty that is to want to do the Christian life as a performance. And of course, nobody wants to say it that way. No one wants to put in those words, but in essence, that's what it is. When you don't have that intimacy with God and that loving connection with him, it will burden you.
Yeah, it's a great point. You know, it makes me think of Hebrews chapter 4, where we get a glimpse of the heart of God. You know, verse 14, it says, therefore, since we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to the confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at a proper time. That's exactly what you're talking about, Jason, right? Like this, we don't have to be just like, we know the things we should think. We know the things we should say. We know the things that we're supposed to believe, right? We know all of that. And yet, at the same time, sometimes we're not in line with that. Or sometimes, yeah, we're having those struggles or there's those thoughts. And the cool part is part of the reason we can engage God in that transparent way is because God genuinely relates to us, right? Jesus came and he went to the cross for our sin, but he suffered in every way like us so that he could relate. And that's a wild, that's mind-blowing to me when you really realize that Jesus suffered not for the purposes of God. Jesus went to the cross for the purposes of God, but he suffered in every way like us simply so that he could relate. First, because he's sovereign Lord of creation, right? He knows everything. And also because he walked in human shoes and experienced what we experience. And what a cool, I mean, that's just wild. That's just a wild reality that you literally can have a relationship with God like you do with a good friend or your spouse, or except better, because it's more meaningful relationship than even those ones, right? Because those relationships are meant to draw us back to God, right? Marriage is so good that it's supposed to make me long for the union with the Lord, right? That's literally what Ephesians 5 tells us. He's like, hey, psych, you thought I was talking about marriage. I'm not. I'm actually talking about the relationship between Christ and his church. And that's incredible. Now, that advice, by the way, still applies to marriage. I'm not saying it doesn't. But the point of that is it draws us, you know, into deeper relationship. And I think all relationships are like this, right? When you have a great relationship with a buddy and you have, you know, intimacy, yeah, it's different than marriage intimacy, but it's still a beautiful thing, right? And it's still incredible in its own right. And yet even that should just make me long more for the union with the Lord. It's like, wow, if this is that good, then what must being in the presence and glory of God be like? And how good must that be, right? And prayer is really the primary means for building, at least this side of heaven, for building that relationship with the Lord. I imagine it'll be different when we're in his presence, quite a bit different, because then it's a face-to-face conversation. How cool will that be? And just get to worship the Lord in his throne room, in his glory, right? Get to experience that and delight in that and enjoy that. That's what prayer provides for us, is the opportunity to really engage God that way. And so when I'm thinking about it that way, it's like, dude, why are we not praying way more than we do? You know, like when I'm really recognizing that reality, I should be like, dude, I don't want to do anything but pray. I just want to stay in my prayer closet and commune with the Lord all the time. And that's kind of what the idea of praying without ceasing is, right? That we are commanded to do in Colossians 4:2 and 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and Romans 12:12, you know, and all these places where we're called to, essentially, it's like constantly have open dialogue with the Lord, have that line of communication open, listening to the Lord and speaking to the Lord. And much like you do, you know, in all these other relationships. But of course, Jason, the primary aspect of that is a personal relationship with the Lord to begin with. And so we'd really encourage you, you know, if you haven't given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, do it, because you're missing out on the most awesome relationship there is and the opportunity to really engage and be in deep and meaningful relationship with the Lord. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.